The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 13 degrees and mostly cloudy in Montreal. I'm Chanelie Desbarois, and here are today's headlines. Premier François Legault is shutting down gyms again. Montreal Fight Center has opened a brand new multimedia exhibit, and Demi Lovato has just released a new documentary series on YouTube, followed by a new album. The province has just released the latest COVID-19 numbers. 1,270 new cases were confirmed yesterday. Montreal makes up 299 of those cases. 123 people are currently in intensive care. There's an increase of 2 from the previous day. 43,631 vaccinations were administered. As Quebec enters a third wave of the COVID-19 pandemic, the variant strains of the virus have been worrying public health officials. Health Minister Christian Dubé says people 55 and older will have the opportunity to get the AstraZeneca vaccine soon, with the exception of people in Saguenay and Bas-Saint-Laurent. AstraZeneca will be available in Montreal as of tomorrow. He also added that essential workers in Montreal will be able to make an appointment as of Friday. That includes teachers, police officers, and people working in jails. People with chronic illness under 60 in Montreal will be able to get vaccinated at the hospital with their doctors in the following weeks. Also, all over Quebec, people 60 and over are now eligible for vaccinations, and Dubé hopes everyone in this age group will be vaccinated by the end of April. Premier François Legault has decided to shut gyms down again in Montreal. TQ has the story.
All gyms will be closed as of tomorrow. Legault explained that this is a preventative measure because Montreal's in a, quote, fragile situation, and, quote, could become critical very rapidly. Legault claims that as of now, the situation is under control, but that he is keeping a close eye on the situation as it develops. Legault said that, quote, April is going to be a critical, crucial month. After having gyms shut down for the past 6 months, Legault decided to open the gyms in Montreal for the past 2 weeks before announcing their closure as of tomorrow. Legault believes that despite it only lasting a few weeks, loosening the restrictions was good for people's mental health as it allowed them to briefly return to activities they love, so he does not regret it. Legault also defends his government's decision-making by claiming they are trying to make the best decisions with the information they have. He says that there is no instruction manual to follow how to govern within a pandemic. Quote, should we have closed everything in March and reopened in April? Well, there's no instruction manual. Mega Fitness Gym in Quebec City was ordered to shut down on March 31st because public health officials visited the gym and observed that very few safety measures were being followed. The Mega Fitness Gym is now responsible for 171 COVID-19 cases and 20 workplace outbreaks. F45 Fitness Studio in Griffintown was built during the pandemic with health restrictions in mind. Clients exercise in their own square without sharing equipment. CTV News spoke to owner Corey Faubert, who says this new fitness studio model is safe and should not be included in the government's one-size-fits-all approach to reclosing gyms. Other indoor sports will still be allowed. Pools and indoor skating rinks will remain open, and individual sports played one-on-one, such as tennis and badminton, will still be allowed. TQ Concordia News, Montreal.
Students in secondary 9, 10, and 11 will now be attending schools on alternative days instead of full-time classes. Premier François Legault made the announcement in a press conference yesterday. An EMSMB English Montreal School Board spokesperson said in a statement they would have no difficulty in adjusting to the new measures. EMSB Chair Joe Ortona asked the Quebec government if they could retain these measures for the rest of the school year because these changes are stressful on students, parents, and staff. The Montreal Canadiens will be facing some challenges in the next games with two of their top guys injured. Maria Buabdo has the story.
Since last Thursday, the Canadiens have won two of their last three games. That's including their game on Monday when Eric Staal made his debut and scored in overtime, giving the Habs a 3-2 win.
Here comes Staal, waiting, shoots, scores! Oh, welcome home! Eric Staal, OT winner!
But towards the end of the first period, right winger Brendan Gallagher left the ice after receiving a shot to the hand from his teammate Alexander Romanov. It was later announced that he broke his right thumb and that he would be out for weeks. And it's not the first time something like this has happened to Gallagher. In 2015, he needed surgery after breaking two fingers on his left hand. And in 2017, he broke his left hand. Both these incidents happen after taking a puck to the hand. In practice yesterday, Jesperi Kotkaniemi was moved from fourth line center to Gallagher's spot on the first line's right wing. But the last time he played as a winger was back in Finland a few years ago, so this should be interesting. Head coach Dominique Ducharme also announced that Carey Price had been playing through a lower body injury and that he didn't travel to Toronto with the team. For now, it seems more like a preventative measure, but Ducharme said backup goaltender Jake Allen might be playing back-to-back games tonight and tomorrow. The Habs will be facing the top two teams of the division in their next four games, and it will definitely be a challenge without Price, and especially Gallagher, who's known as the heart and soul of the team. Here's Allen.
Yeah, you know, he's the engine. He really is. You know, even when I wasn't here, part of this organization, you knew from afar this guy was the engine of the team. He's the bulldog out there. You know, you know what you're getting from Gally every game.
Maria Boabdo, Concordia News, Montreal.
It's been little over a month since Montreal Fi Center reopened with its unique display, Parallel Lines, but already the venue has installed a brand new multimedia exhibit. The latest is called Three Movements. Our reporter Raina Ephraim has the story.
The Fi Center is now displaying its latest multimedia event, Three Movements, which is expected to draw the attention of art fans from all over Montreal. Three Movements features the work of six artists through different forms of digital media, primarily in the forms of augmented reality, virtual reality, and mixed reality. Together, they share one theme, the expansion of emotional and transformative storytelling. Randall Okita is one of the creators of the new exhibit. Okita is displaying his piece called The Book of Distance.
Making this kind of work is part of it's obviously a conversation with the particular audience member who's in your piece, who's experiencing it, but it's also part of a really big and important conversation about the medium itself.
Using VR technology, visitors can experience the life story of Yonezo Okita, the artist's grandfather, and his migration from Japan to Canada in 1935. According to Randall, VR helped him bridge the gap between history and reality and to tell his grandfather's story in a meaningful way.
It was when I started doing some experiments in VR that I realized, you know, that the capabilities of this medium became exciting for me to tell the story in a way that I think would be new and the way that people could sort of access in a new way.
Similarly, Asteria, another multisensorial piece by videographer Marcella Grimaud, uses VR to reinvent how people interpret music for themselves. Grimaud worked with five musicians to generate eight short videos that visitors can immerse themselves in using VR.
I would say that the music was one of the main,
It's a big driver.
Was the big driver. You know, we wanted to find different ways for the spectator to listen to music.
Visitors can experience the nature of Three Movements themselves until September 5th. Tickets can be bought on Fi's website. Raina Ephraim, Concordia News, Montreal.
Nothing is better to cool ourselves down in the summer than a gin and tonic on ice, but choosing the right one can be difficult since there's so many different kinds available. Our reporter Lauriane Tremblay is here to help us out.
First off, let me explain what exactly gin is. Gin is a hard liquor made from the fermentation of some type of malt, like barley, rye, or corn. The liquor is then flavored with different kinds of herbs to give it its distinct taste. This practice is originally from Holland, where gin was invented back in the 17th century. Quebec has become a big producer of gin in the last few years, and we're really good at it. Currently, there are 131 gins with various flavors made in the province that are offered at the SAQ. Don't know which one to choose? Here's three of my favorites. The first one I recommend is the Loop Lime and Ginger, which is actually made from recycled potato peels. It has a very fresh and citrusy taste, almost like a popsicle. Mix it with tonic water, a lemon wedge, and tons of ice, and you get the perfect refreshing drink for hot summer days. My second recommendation is the Canopy, made from five different wood aromatics. It's dry, soft, and woody in the mouth, a perfect gin for when you want something kind of traditional but with a fun twist. My last recommendation is the HP Juniper, which is non-alcoholic. It has notes of cucumber, eucalyptus, and citronella. This gin is a great alternative for those who don't drink or simply for when you feel like having a great drink but don't feel like consuming alcohol. Lauriane Tremblay, Concordia News, Montreal.
You probably saw him on social media or have seen him on Jimmy Fallon's show. Lou Ballet is a musical artist from Montreal that has been rising up the charts. Our reporter Vanessa Pulido is here. So Vanessa, who is Lou Ballet?
Hi, Shanalee. Well, he won't give out his real name, but he goes by Lou Ballet. He comes from our hometown, Montreal, Quebec, and is a singer, songwriter, and music producer. What I find so interesting is that he takes disputes that occur over random comment sections on social media, and he uses those as his lyrics. Just like that, he makes these catchy songs that are not only humorous, but are also produced very well. Lou Ballet created his first one called Internet Drama Part 1, Is It Available? And posted it to TikTok and it went viral. Here's a listen to it.
You contacted me. I know I'm no longer interested. Please stop contacting me now.
It's crazy how this to date has more than 41.4 million views on TikTok. Since then, he has continued to find more internet dilemmas to sing about. And even collaborated with Jimmy Fallon and Alison Brie to make Internet Drama Part 4, which is about salad dressing.
Salad dressing? What do you mean by that?
Well, exactly that. He talks about salad dressing. The typical Karens and Carols of the internet were disputing whether or not blue cheese really does have mold in it.
That's hilarious. So I'm curious, who is Lou Ballet as an artist?
Well, I was listening to a podcast he was featured in with host Brittany Brusky, and it made listeners see a different side of him as an artist. He says that if it weren't for TikTok and its ability to disperse content to a wide audience so quickly, he doesn't think that he would have gone viral that fast. Lou Ballet then says that going viral in such a short span of time could really take a toll on your mental health since you're always checking your phone for updates. He also points out that he in fact is a musician and makes real songs, and he doesn't want his professional work to be diminished because of the Comedia series that he did. Lou Ballet recently released a song called Long Text that is hip-hop and has a really nice groovy flow to it. So far, it has 1.5 million streams on Spotify. Before going viral, he actually got noticed by a Montreal music label called Cult Nation, which signed him on as an artist right away. When he's not making music, he's on social media like TikTok, watching other funny creators. He says that some of his favorites are Kyle and Tucker, Smack McQueener, and of course, Brittany Brusky.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you, Shanalee.
That was our reporter, Vanessa Pulido.
I told you I was okay, but I was lying. I was dancing.
That was Demi Lovato's new song, Dancing with the Devil. The singer has just released her latest documentary series on YouTube, revealing the details about her 2018 overdose and her road to recovery. Our reporter, Olivia Pichet, has the story. Hi, Olivia. What can you tell us about the documentary?
Hi, Shanalee. Just like the song we just played, the documentary is called Dancing with the Devil, and it actually premiered on YouTube about 2 weeks ago. It was split into four 20 to 30 minute episodes, and after the March 30th premiere of the first two episodes, the others aired over the span of the following 2 weeks. The documentary revolves around the details of Lovato's overdose and shares the testimonies of her loved ones during that time of her life. It even features other celebrities such as Will Ferrell, Christina Aguilera, and Elton John, who all talk about Demi and her road to recovery. For those who are unaware, on July 24th, 2018, Demi Lovato was found unconscious in her bed after an overdose caused by opioids laced with fentanyl. This came only months after she celebrated 6 years of sobriety. From a young age, Lovato has struggled with an eating disorder, drug and alcohol addiction, depression, and self-harm, and she's had to suffer it all in the spotlight. Demi starred on the kids' show Barney and Friends when she was only 10 years old and quickly gained fame as a child star on the Disney Channel. The documentary reveals the inside details about the overdose that were never actually released to the public, like the fact that she was violated when she was semi-conscious and essentially left for dead by the man who supplied her the drugs. We also come to learn that Demi suffered 3 strokes, a heart attack, and was declared legally blind when she first woke up in the hospital. The documentary also takes a look at the road that led to this event and shines a light on the overbearing control put on her at a young age in order to repress her addiction and eating disorder. Throughout the series, Demi and her family speak out about the strict rules she's had to live under, including never actually being allowed to have a real birthday cake. Lovato only ate melon cakes on her birthdays as a way to keep her eating disorder under control. The singer actually touches on the specific fact in her newest album, which is also entitled Dancing with the Devil and was released last Friday.
So there's an album that came with the documentary. Can you tell us a little bit more about the album, Olivia?
Yes, so the album, just like the documentary, revolves around the story of her overdose. The song I mentioned earlier is called The Melon Cake, which is all about striking a balance in her life and taking back a little control. Essentially, never having to eat a melon cake again and just allowing herself to eat a real birthday cake. The album also features a song called I See You, Madison's Lullaby, which is a play on words since it touches on the fact that Lovato was legally blind when she woke up in the hospital and unable to see her little sister Madison sitting right next to her. In her documentary, we can hear a few clips of the song Dancing with the Devil. Lovato released a music video for this song, which actually recreated her overdose in clear detail. In the video, Lovato can be seen partying in the same green jacket she wore the night of her overdose. We watch as Demi recreates being left behind by her drug supplier, being found by her assistant, and being surrounded in the hostel by her worried family.
How do you feel about everything she just put out?
While I had some worries about her projects possibly romanticizing mental illness and addiction, I have to say I do think that the documentary and the music video were right on the edge of romanticizing them, and there's a possibility others may see it that way too. However, that being said, I understand that celebrities in general just live romanticized lives, and it's her story to tell in whatever way she wants. I do think the topics were taken very seriously, and there's a lot to say about how open she was when discussing the difficult topics, such as her relapses and her own mistakes along the way. I also don't think we should overlook all of the struggles and pressures that come along with being a child star. Like I said before, it's her own personal story, and I do think there's power in putting out a documentary and music about recovery and the things she's learned along the way. I think it will help others who may not be able to see an out from their illnesses, and I commend Demi Lovato for her honesty.
Thanks for the review, Olivia. That was our reporter, Olivia Pichet.
Thanks, Shanalee.
That's your news for 11:47. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Shanalee DePavois.